From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Michelle Boulanger joins us, a walk on the paranormal side. Looking forward to that. Well, you know how for so many months all of us have been feeling something very strange, very eerie. Well, here we go. What do you think? North Korea has warned South Korea and us, the United States, that Seoul's participation in a U.S.-led program to intercept ships suspected of carrying weapons of mass destruction is equal to a declaration of war. South Korea announced its participation in the U.S.-led program one day after North Korea defiantly conducted a nuclear test, drawing international criticism. The North's military said in a statement that it will respond with immediate, strong military measures against any attempt to stop and search North Korean ships under the Proliferation Security Initiative. The statement carried by North Korea's official central news agency also said the regime no longer considers itself bound by the armistice that ended the Korean War. It accused the U.S., a signatory of the armistice, of dragging the South into the program under its hostile policy against the North. It also said it cannot guarantee safety for South Korean and U.S. Navy ships sailing near the disputed Western Korean sea border. Stand by. As you know, we've had a couple remote viewers and psychics over the past 2 years that have said on this program that North Korea will be the hotspot. The parents of a Minnesota boy who refused chemotherapy for his cancer have told a judge that they now agreed to the medical treatment, and the judge says the boy can stay with them. 13-year-old Daniel Hauser has Hodgkin's lymphoma. He and his mother missed a court appearance last week and left the state to avoid chemo and to try to get alternative treatments. Colleen and Anthony Hauser say they understand their son needs chemotherapy. Daniel returned to Minnesota almost a week after they were on the run. A doctor's exam showed a tumor in his chest had grown and is pushing against his trachea, causing pain. In Detroit, 58-year-old man dies after rescuing a 7-year-old boy who fell into a water-filled hole at a Detroit construction site. Local police say the boy was playing at a home under construction when he fell into the foundation pit that was dug for the basement. Well, the man, Garrick Townsend of Detroit, managed to rescue the child but wasn't able to get himself out of the water. He was rushed to the hospital where he died. True hero. Sad news for Michael Tyson's family. Mike Tyson, his 4-year-old daughter, was taken off life support and pronounced dead at 11:45 a.m. one day after she was discovered hanging from a treadmill cable in her family's Phoenix home. Exodus Tyson's 7-year-old brother found her with her neck in a cord dangling from the exercise machine. Andy Hill, a sergeant out there, called it a tragic accident. U.S. consumer confidence soared in May to its highest level in 8 months as severe strains in the labor market showed some signs of easing. Though Americans' moods remain depressed by historical standards, the Conference Board, which is an industry group, said its index of consumer attitudes jumped to 54.9% in May from a revised 40.8% in April. That is the biggest one-month jump since April of 2003. Economists have been looking for a much smaller rise to 42%. The clock is ticking on a June 1st deadline for General Motors to restructure, and this make-or-break week is expected to bring more plant closures, employee concessions, and other last-minute efforts without changes. The federal government has said that the Detroit-based automaker will have to file for bankruptcy protection by next Monday. The company has been trying to overhaul its business so it can keep receiving federal money to stay afloat as it deals with soaring costs and slumping sales. GM borrowed $4 billion more from the federal government on top of the $15.4 billion it has already received. I'll be broadcasting Coast to Coast Live, by the way, Friday night in Detroit at GM's OnStar Studios. General Motors Corporation will give the United Auto Workers Union some 17.5 to 20% of its common stock, $6.5 billion of preferred shares, and a $2.5 billion note to fund a trust that will take over retiree health costs starting next year. And Ron Paul, and we've invited him to come back to the show, and I think he will, who long opposed the power held by the Federal Reserve and its ability to manipulate the nation's economy, and over the years has launched proposals to get rid of the quasi-governmental agency without significant support. But now he has a current plan. It's called the Federal Reserve Transparency Act of 2009, and he wants an audit of the Fed. And as of right now, the proposal has collected a bipartisan coalition of 179 members of Congress who have signed as co-sponsors. We've got our economic expert on the line with us now, Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, this story itself, what do you think of this? Are they going to ever be able to audit the Fed?
I think it's possible. I think, if you're the Federal Reserve, how do you say transparency is a bad thing?
You know, you got to give Ron Paul credit. He's got some guts, doesn't he?
He has guts, and he never quits. He never quits, and he stayed on point, George. And that's the most important thing in politics. And the funny thing is, not only is he at the right point, and he's at the point where the biggest problem is lurk. You know, the duck is in the bush. It's right where he is, and he stayed on point for years. And now people are coming around and understanding that he's right.
So they say in May, consumer confidence is up, but the housing market is still in deep doo-doo, isn't it?
Well, I don't see how it's up, because they must be polling a different country than I live in.
they're probably polling people who are working.
Well, if you look at the unemployment numbers, they're dramatic, and they've been very quick. So we see the Dow get hammered in September, October. The layoffs start, November, December coming, and by March, they're tremendous. At the top of my blog is a interactive map that Slate magazine put up that shows by month the job losses by county in the country. It's quite dramatic. And what's happened, and you see this out in California where you are sometimes, George, is this is now translating with the drop in the housing market. Now with the drop in incomes from unemployment, the municipalities, both state and local government, are getting absolutely hammered. They're just seeing tremendous drop-off in their tax revenues and other fee revenues. And, of course, now California is turning to the Treasury and the government and saying, help. And you know, the states cannot borrow the way the federal government can. So we're coming in, a lot of their fiscal years close in the summer. So we're coming in this summer where all these state and local governments and related agencies have to balance their budget, and to do that, they're going to have to lay off more people. So we have another round of unemployment coming and a real crunch, because they're all going to turn to Congress, and then Congress has the new budget to finalize in September. So look for this summer and more unemployment to cause real questions.
Catherine, you're one of our economic advisors, but I'm really concerned about the rhetoric coming out of North Korea. I really think that these people are capable of doing something stupid. What do you think?
Well, I think to keep the dollar up, we need a war. Oh. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but my fear is that a variety of different global financial tensions are getting to the point where there are just too many people who can make money on a war.
We're going to have to watch this. Give us your two websites, Catherine.
Solari.com and Dunwalkie.com.
You got it. Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks,
Austin Fitz. She's one of the best. Formic acid, a molecule implicated in the origins of life, has been found at record levels on a meteorite that fell into a Canadian lake in the year 2000. Cold temperatures in the lake prevented the volatile chemical from dissipating quickly. What does that all mean? Last night on Coast to Coast, we had Brother Michael Diamond on, who says that UFOs are demons. It's an elaborate hoax by the devil. Up next, Whitley Strieber to get his reaction and to talk about some other issues, including the Nye incidents. Whitley's next on Coast to Coast AM. Whitley Strieber, author of many books, including Communion, Superstorm, written with Art Bell, his novels, The Grays, 2012, The War for Souls, being made into films, and here he is on Coast to Coast. Whitley, how are you?
Well, I'm mighty fine.
Great.
Couldn't be better.
Wanted to get you on, first of all, to get your reaction to last night's program. Brother Michael Diamond, who claims that UFOs are demons, that it's just trickery by the devil. Hugh Ross has been on the program before, too. He has similar theories. What's your take?
Well, my take is this. First of all, In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it admits of the possibility of three kinds of being in the universe: angels, demons, and us. And that means that people who are strict constructionists of the Bible, believe the Bible literally, can only believe in those three kinds of beings. There's a problem with this. And the problem with this is a statistical problem. It is one of size. The universe is unimaginably large. There are more galaxies in the universe than there are stars in our galaxy. But here's a recent discovery. A group of cosmologists found a 9 billion light-year wide gap in our universe that can only be explained one way, mind-bogglingly, somewhere out there, beyond where light has ever traveled. There is another universe affecting the gravity of our universe. That's why this gap is there.
That's incredible.
Incredible. But here's another idea. A prominent cosmologist, Dr. Roger Penrose, has suggested that there may be many, many universes out there, not just one or two, but thousands, millions, maybe even an infinity of them. And another, this time a mathematician, Dr. David Deutsch, has created calculations that suggest that there may be physically real parallel universes right here, where we are right now, and there's going to be an experiment at the CERN Super Collider sooner or later, once they get the thing going and get back on schedule, that would even either confirm or deny this as a reality. Now, you take all of that, and I submit to you, we have no idea, no conception of the greatness of God, but we need to return to our humility. And in our humility, to admit we do not know what's out there.
That is so true, Whitley. And that's the big answer, and that's the big question as well.
Exactly.
I tried to get Brother Diamond to take that perspective, but, man, he was pretty rigid. I liked him. He was a good interview, but he will not bend off his belief and faith.
And,
no.
You know, and you have to respect people of faith on the one hand.
Of course.
On the other hand, when faith makes you small, are you turning away from God or toward God? That's a question I always have in my own mind. My own personal experience of this is, as you know, George, and anyone who reads my books know, it's very complicated. People who believe the visitors or whatever they are demons can always find support in my work, saying that, yes, Whitley Strieber believes like I do. Or people who believe they're angels, they can find support in my work too, because what I actually experienced was an incredibly complicated, extraordinarily subtle interaction that bled off into areas that are completely beyond my understanding, and that sometimes, to me, profoundly evil and dangerous, other times beautiful, enriching beyond compare. It was an absolute peak experience. And you know what? When I came out of it, I thought to myself, they're very, very complicated. They're actually a lot like us in that respect.
Absolutely. I know many times when we're together, whether it's on this program, speaking engagements, or on a TV show, we've talked, and you always say, George, I don't know who they are.
I'm going to always tell it like I see it. I will never lie. I will never overtell my story. That is a problem that is so difficult in my life of a person like me. You want to connect dots that aren't really connected. You have to be very rigorous intellectually. You have to be very rigorous not to do that, and you can't do that because it's a tremendous disservice to the public. This happened to me. I don't think anything like this extensive, has ever really happened to anybody else. I'll be frank. I mean, a lot of people have claimed a lot of contact, but not like this. And so I try to always tell only what I know to be true. And what I know to be true is I've seen some of the worst stuff and the most dangerous stuff that you can possibly imagine. And I have been taken to heights that I didn't know a human being could go.
Woodley, you wrote a graphic novel with Craig Spector called Nigh Incidents, which explored the true possibility of human mutilations. Looks like it's going to be a movie now.
Right, that's right. Dark Castle has bought it. The Warner Brothers, Joel Silver's company at Warner Brothers. And the reason we did this was this. I had a couple of cases that came across my desk back in the mid-90s suggestive that there had been human beings mutilated by, like, cattle. I think Linda Moulton Howe has one remotely possible case like that. And they just bothered me, especially because most of the ones I came across, like one case in Pennsylvania that's known as the Todd Sees case, were quite near where I used to live and where I used to interact with the visitors. So they, you know, they were very troubling, and they scared me. They frightened me deeply. And I began to try to do what I have done always with this, is that when it is very moving to me, no matter on what level, I try to write about it to work that out emotionally. And it was so scary that I couldn't actually do this. I wrote about, I think I've got 10 scripts in my files that I wrote trying to write this out. And finally, I went to a friend of mine, a producer called Mark Wolf, and I said, Mark, I have this story. I can't write it. He said, well, I know a guy who's unscarable, who writes horror, Craig Spector, and he is a pretty unscarable guy. And, you know, we worked together, and we produced this graphic novel, and then a young director, Todd Lincoln, came along and said, I just love this. I want to make this. And so, you know, it's going to explore the dark side. You know, like The Greys will not. The Greys is probably going to explore a lighter, more hopeful side of the experience. But you have to. I learned something from a Kabbalist in who was in Poland before the war, very, very deeply embedded in the mystical Kabbalah. And she said, you know, we pushed the dark side away. We wanted nothing to do with it. And suddenly, it came rushing at us from behind in the form of these men dressed in black with death's heads on their skull and tanks. She said, you have to respect the dark side. Don't ignore it. And I don't. I don't ignore it. I do respect it.
Good for you. You're putting on the Dreamland Festival again this year, right? It's coming back?
Yes, we are. The Dreamland Festival is coming back. It was a great success last year. It's not a big festival. We don't have, like, thousands of people. We try to keep it to under 200 people. And it's in Nashville. And it's a quiet sort of campus-like place. And it's a chance for people to interact with everyone who's on Dreamland, me and Linda and William Henry. And we have a psychic now, Marla Friess. And,
right. She's been on the show, thanks to you, by
the
way.
Yeah, she's very cool. And Jim Mars, of course, will be with us, and Anne. And, you know, it's intimate. People get to know each other. We get to know them. And it happens. And, yeah, if they want to get involved, they should go to Unknown Country and click on the Dreamland Festival ad, which is on the left, and take a look. It's a lot of fun.
Well, not only that, Nashville's a great city. It's just great to get down there. As a matter of fact, I've got a 20% chance today that I may switch my schedule and try to pop down there and just say hello to you and Linda and Jim Mars and the group if I can switch. 20% chance, but it was zero 2 weeks ago.
20% would be just great, George. We would love to have you come.
It might even be 40% by the next week or so, Whitley. Hey, do you want to stick around for some phone calls?
Sure.
I've got to tell you, by the way, the last time I was with you and Ann in Vancouver, you two captivate an audience better than any people I have ever seen.
Well,
I mean,
thank you.
It was just amazing. Catherine did her thing, Austin Fitz on the economy. But in terms of just mesmerizing an audience about the unknown, You two are just spectacular together. What a team.
Ann and I have lived this for 30 years. I mean, you know, we've lived it, and it's real. It's not made up. It's real. It's totally real. And when we're you see us together, you can see that.
It's magic, Whitley. It's magic. Stick around. We're going to take phone calls with Whitley Strieber. We'll call them Calls with Whitley, or maybe you've got some stories you want to share with Whitley Strieber. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Michelle Ballanger joins us. Vampires in their own words and some other paranormal experiences. But when we come right back, your calls with Whitley Strieber right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Whitley Strieber with us. Your calls. Whitley, so excited that the astronauts added those extra pieces of equipment to the Hubble. That's going to be exciting.
And it means we're going to have the Hubble a lot longer than we have the shuttle, thank goodness.
You know, when they talk about going back to see the first light from the Big Bang, and I still have questions about the Big Bang. You know, I'm beginning to wonder maybe the universe was always here. But would they truly be able to go back and see that explosion practically? What do you think?
You know, I wonder about that. I have to tell you that I'm not even sure there was a Big Bang. And there's a substantial body of work out there that suggests that the universe is more not steady state, but it's cyclical. In other words, it expands and contracts and expands and contracts. And therefore, that there have been many Big Bangs, not one, but it's been going on for even longer than we imagine. You know, one thing we do know, if we understand how to look at light correctly, and there's evidence that we do, that the redshift is a real thing, then it could be that with the revised Hubble and with some of the new telescopes that are coming along soon, we're going to see some very, very old light, and we're going to also see something very extraordinarily new, which is evidence of life on other planets.
Absolutely. Let's go to Charleston, South Carolina, get this hour going. Let's go to you, Jack. Hi there.
Hello.
Thanks for calling, Jack.
It's a pleasure to talk with Whitley again. I think I called in when you were on with Stanton Friedman with Art Bell probably a dozen years or more ago.
Long time.
I'm getting
long
old.
Time. We bring intelligence level of discussions of everything ailing up to a high level. What I wanted to ask was if you had heard last night's program or heard of that brother Andrew Diamond who believes...
Michael
Diamond.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I'm on the air. So we definitely, I have heard of him. We have listened to the show. And yeah, is the answer. And I don't think I want to answer this question because the whole first half of our conversation was about what you know, I just said all of this a moment ago.
Let's go to Lance in Boise, Idaho, on the west of the Rockies. Hey, Lance.
Yeah, hi, Whitley.
Hey,
I was wondering, have you ever met with anybody, say, in Washington, D.C., regarding your book Communion that took interest in you? I remember Jesse Marcel telling a story about him going, being sat down by somebody high up in the government in Washington, D.C., and that person had your book in his hand, and he started talking to him about it.
Can you tell us
about if you've talked to anybody like that?
Yeah, of course. I've had people like that up to my cabin. They asked me not to talk about their interest, and I'm not going to. But I will say this. I do believe that there should be, full, complete disclosure, not only of what they do know, but of more importantly, of how much they don't know, which I have to ask you, based on the questions I was being asked, they don't know as nearly as much as we think. And I think that's quite unfortunate because we really ought to know more about this. There's no further question but that the government has a reaction and a response to UFOs, and it does cover this up. Last fall, I believe, the British government, Ministry of Defense, released a lot of UFO files, which included a file about a shoot-down attempt in 1956 over the British Isles by American with the United States Air Force ordering a couple of its jets to fire rockets at a UFO that was the size, according to one of the pilots, of an aircraft carrier.
Huge. Huge.
Huge. And that, to me, ends the discussion. Of course we care. Of course there's a cover-up. It's there. And I'm not able to change it. I wish I had the power. I don't. I'm not sure whether it is enforced by the fact that we shot first and therefore ruined contact and made it what would have been an extraordinary movement of mankind into the cosmos into a disaster. Maybe that's the reason for the cover-up. Maybe the reason for the cover-up is that the aliens, if they are aliens, are enforcing it and saying you're not ready yet and we're not going to let you say anything until we're ready for you to. I don't know the answer to those questions. But, yeah, is the answer. I have talked to people in the government. Yes, they were very interested in my books. And, no, I don't think that they have the answers either.
You know, I had an opportunity to meet that pilot, Whitley, in Washington, D.C., Milton Torres.
Yes.
And we had him on the show, and remarkable. You know what amazes me, though, about this entire episode is eventually somebody's going to tick off these UFOs. I am amazed at how much restraint they show, at least what we know, because they could annihilate all these planes, couldn't they?
Well, you know, when the Indian Air Force goes out into the Gulf to examine, to look over the islanders who live on those little islands south of India who are incredibly primitive Stone Age people, and who will stand out there throwing their spears at the helicopters. The Indian military is very gentle with them. I think that tells the story pretty clearly.
Almost also, there was a picture that may have been concocted, I think, of Amazon native Indians shooting their bow and arrows at a helicopter as well, while the photographer was taking pictures of them. It was we had it published about a year ago. Same thing. They could have shot at them. They didn't. They didn't have
to. Of course not. I mean, they wouldn't, because these people are ignorant and helpless. And unfortunately, when this happened in the late 40s, we were just coming off World War II. Our initial thought, I know from having talked to Art Exon about it, General Exon was a friend of my uncle and Mickey Strieber, and the General Exon, who was also eventually commander of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, told me in no uncertain terms, everyone from Truman on down knew this thing was not of this world within 24 hours of their finding it. And he said, but their initial reaction was that this was some kind of a Russian spy craft that was coming close to Roswell, where we had the only operational atomic bomber wing in the world, and they reacted very, very suspiciously and very violently initially. And I think it probably set this thing on a wrong track that it's been on ever since.
Yeah, you may be right about that. First-time caller, hello, Paul from American Canyon, California. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul. I got to admit, I'm a little nervous here.
You'll be fine. Just think it's on a telephone, Paul. It's just you and me and Whitley on a party line.
Yeah, it's just the three of us, believe me.
Well, Whitley, I got to tell you, I like to consider myself a Christian. I usually don't run around saying it. I figured let my life show it.
I'm in that same camp.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't see it in me, and then this, you know, there's something wrong. I used to be in the old camp, basically, where, oh, those things can't exist, all that stuff. Yet, I was also taught to discern. And you put me in a dilemma. I mean, if somebody was to say to me, angels or demons or aliens even, I probably could have worked it out in my head. But Gray's presented a major problem to me, because there was nothing that I could really find, scripturally speaking, that could even basically describe them. But I don't want to get into the how I figured why I believe the way I believe. because it just basically don't have enough time. I mean, it deals around numbers and everything, the meaning of what numbers mean in Scripture. But personally thinking, I really believe that the Grays and the Sodomites of the Old Testament, are one and the same.
That's the thing is, you say you believe this. But
yeah,
no evidence whatsoever that the two things have any relationship to whatsoever to one another. It's just a belief, which is a choice. It hasn't got anything to do with any facts. You know, here's an interesting thing. Jesus said, "Be as little children." Why are we so afraid to do that? Why are we so afraid to face the world with eyes full of question? Why do we have to impose belief on that when it's so clear that Jesus wanted us to think for ourselves and to ask questions?
Yeah, see, that's just it. See, I don't believe they're demons. And see, that's why I had a problem with Brother Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
The sheer fact that Grays didn't make sense to me was that I used to always ask a question, because this is the ultimate around you, too, when I listen to you. Is basically, if assuming somebody's telling the truth, how is this scripturally possible? The Grays I had trouble with. So I basically just changed the question over to assume, how does something exist that should not exist? The only answer I could find was by the hand of man, basically void and form without form. The lay the proof down would just way take too long. And it's actually just, I've got to go through Scripture and things like that and show you different things. And, I mean, we don't have time for that.
Well, but it is.
But you
Paul,
know, if you say that phrase, by the hand of man, and you do not realize how complicated that statement actually is in my experience. I had an implant put into my ear in May of 1989. That was done by people. I saw them. I just couldn't stop them. I have had for years a relationship with this being who's on the cover of Communion, who, when you actually with her, you kept thinking to yourself, this is a human being. This is some kind of a mutated human being. This is not an alien. And my wife says, Anne says, they're from the future. They're human, but from the distant future. I don't know the answer, but certainly one thing is quite clear. The hand of man does play a role in this, and a very, very unexplained one.
Absolutely. Vincent in Granbury, Texas, you're on with Whitley Strieber, East of the Rockies. Hey, Vincent.
Hello, Mr. Strieber. What a rare pleasure to get to speak with you.
Well, thank you.
I saw you on the Larry King show probably almost 20 years ago, right after Communion came out paperback.
Yeah, when Larry still had teeth.
and
me too.
I was very struck by your description of the place where the encounter you were talking about took place, that it looked kind of like a room in a log cabin, and there was laundry thrown around, and
it was not clean. I wouldn't say, I don't recall saying that there was laundry thrown around, but there was clothing on the floor. Somebody lived there clearly, I didn't say log cabin. I think my initial impression was more like a tent or a little room.
But when she said, how can we help you stop screaming? But then you turned and you looked right into the camera and said, they told you, now we're going to do an operation on your brain.
That's right.
And the look on your face, Mr. Strieber, I was familiar with some of your novels. I think I'd read The Wolfen at that time and maybe Cat Magic. But I thought to myself, well, I don't know if what he is saying really happened, but I know he believes that it really happened.
Well, I certainly do.
And I've read Communion Transformation, The Secret School, and a number of your other books since then. And I just want to say that I appreciate what I would call your rigorous acknowledgement that you don't know what's going on, but I believe that something is going on with you. And so for whatever that's worth, I believe you. I could tell by the look on your face, sir.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot to me, because I can tell you that that is not, I don't get enough of that. And actually, what has happened to me is a peak experience, and it indicates something. It indicates that if we looked at this rationally, if the president, for example, just said yes, or NASA said there are unknown objects flying around in our skies and science should examine them, should look into this without going into anything about disclosing any kind of information, most of which is probably all messed up anyway, we would be able to begin to build a body of human knowledge about this that would start to explain it to us. It is doable. We have the equipment. We have the intelligence. We have the people in place right now all over this world. All we need is permission from higher authority. We need NASA to admit that there are unknowns in the sky, or the president, or the Air Force, and we need the National Academy of Sciences to agree that UFO research is a legitimate area of research for the established scientific community, so organizations like the Ford Foundation can start granting in it, and there can be articles in the peer-reviewed press. We need to begin.
You know, Whitley, I suspect that a lot of that could be going on under the table in black ops programs.
Yeah, but what's the use? It's wasted.
As far as we're concerned.
The knowledge isn't in the black ops world. The knowledge is out here where the ordinary people are. You go into their bodies. You go into their minds. And in their bodies and their minds, you will find the first communication with mankind from another world. It has been laid down inside the soul and body of man.
Let's go to our highly rated station, WOAI, in San Antonio, Texas. James, you're up. Hi, James.
Hello. Hey, I got a question. My copy of Communion says it's fiction, but
Well, you've got a copy that's got a misprint on it. It's not fiction, and it doesn't say anything like that on any copy of Communion.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. I've got my copy.
Like a publisher or what? Because everything I've heard is like a autobiographical.
It's not fiction, and you don't have a copy that says it's fiction, because there is no copies. There are no copies that say it's fiction.
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. You might have another book. My book, The Grays, is fiction, but Communion is absolutely published as nonfiction, and there are no copies that say it's fiction. That's ridiculous.
West of the Rockies, Dan, it's your turn. Hi, Dan.
Mr. Whitley, I'm a Christian. And how could you ever downplay the roles of angels and demons? First of all, the angels was with God when he created this universe.
Well, look, the louder you yell, almost always, the more wrong you are. That's my experience of being human. And no one said I was downplaying the roles of angels and demons at all. I never referred to my opinion about the roles of angels and demons in any way whatsoever. So yell even louder, be more wrong, be my guest.
All we know, Whitley, is we don't know what the heck is going on yet up there.
But something is.
Something is. There's no doubt. You know, even Brother Michael Diamond admitted people were seeing something. And that statement alone told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, I would not discount the possibility that this is all dark and evil. I would never discount that. I have seen things, as I've said. I mean, I'm making a horror movie about this right now.
Yeah.
I have seen things that were just radiated extraordinary evil. I was dragged out of my house in the middle of the night without warning. That didn't strike me as, that wasn't very diplomatic. So
we just don't know. The Dreamland Festival, by the way, unknowncountry.com If you're going to be in the Nashville area June 26th through the 28th, Whitley's got a great day and a half program. Go on by.